This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Before we started the show, BT, with the unfortunate news about Elijah Vera Tucker having a significant injury. I know he's going to seek a second opinion and potentially have to have surgery on it, but it does not sound good for AVT, who once again is hurt. For me, it's more about him and his disappointing career because he's always injured versus the Jets and their expectations. Obviously not what you want going into week one.
I don't mean to sound callous, but I'm less concerned about his future endeavors and his individual accomplishments than I am the Jets actually getting off the mat and being a decent product. And without him, that obviously takes a bit of a dent here. Listen, we know how they're going to try to win. And that's going to try to run the ball down everybody's throat here. So without AVT, going to start shifting guys around. They were already a little loose on Tippmann at center. It's why they brought Myers in. So there's a way to obviously do this here. But now the appear of having Membu on the right side with AVT is that he would help ease the transition of the top 10 pick this year out of Missouri. Now without AVT, it complicates the rookies' transition. The Jets' offensive line got a lot weaker today, which means their team got weaker.
Yeah, and look, I think that Glenn is going to be able to handle this type of adversity. We're going to find out early on. You know, moving guys around, just the margin for error. You mentioned that. We talked about that earlier as well. The margin for error becomes far less now, where you already lose a guy before game action, but it's a guy that's always hurt. So yeah, they're still going to be able to run the football, and Justin Fields is so good at running the football that you don't need a good offensive line to pass down, you know, throw balls down the field. Sure, that's a different story. To run with Braylon Allen, Breece Hall, yeah, that's going to hurt not having Vera Tucker. Justin Fields' running game will not be impacted by the offensive line. So that, to me, is still an advantage.
I don't agree with that. I wish I did. I don't. I think there's all interconnected. There's an unspoken chemistry. We all just kind of know you need it. But we don't really waste time talking about chemistry on the O-line because it's boring on the radio and none of us played offensive line at that level right, where we could really quantify him. You know, but when guys are in rhythm and playing together and have, you know, the skill sets necessary to be an above average to elite offensive line, it absolutely would have made Justin's life easier, whether it's a blind hit. Well, actually, it wouldn't be a blind hit. It would be in front of him on the right side. But it's going to complicate things here. Now, he's in a dynamic enough athlete where he could still make you miss a little bit getting the open field. But the running backs, you know, I don't think that, I don't think that Breece Hall has good vision at all. I don't. I don't like his vision. I think he's very limited from a vision perspective. Again, it's dispiriting. I mean, here I am all summer talking about the Jets going to run it down everybody's throat. They'll still look to run, and they'll still run. They just won't run as much and as well as I thought that they would.
But if
they need to.
But if they are built as well as, you know, some think on the offensive line and running the football, one guy going down shouldn't blow that whole thing up. Could it make it a little more challenging? Sure, but the whole plan did not revolve around AVT.
No, okay, but I'm going to use a baseball analogy, and it really might not be perfect because, like, the sixth inning guy doesn't really necessarily need to work in concert with the seventh inning guy. Just do your job in the sixth, and the seventh guy will do his job and then get to Diaz where you get to whomever in the back end. But from a football perspective, I really do think it's the exact opposite. But, like, to me, say if I want to take somebody who's really, and not Diaz or not Bednar. Take somebody that is like in the eighth inning role, but Devin Williams, if he's right, or Bednar, or whatever, and he gets hurt, the Yankees would still have a good bullpen, but it would absolutely negatively impact their ability to, I think, maybe win a championship. Right. Not, I'm not saying the Jets would do that. That's why it's a ridiculous analogy to begin with. But well, to, you to also close could, out games,
you
et
could avoid a bullpen arm. You can't avoid, you know, you have to start a backup line.
Yeah, right? That's why it's a loose translation. I just think they're all interconnected. It stinks. It's a brutal way. And I saw this when I was walking past Boomer and Geo's studio today. I was in an awesome mood. And I got in a good mood because obviously you got to plow past it. But I'm like, damn, it's Wednesday. I'm so excited for this game with the Steelers and to watch the Giants too. But not the way I wanted to start my Football Wednesday, Sal.
WFAN NFL Football is powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. We also talked about the return of Aaron Rodgers, where I heard, I think it was the morning show, talking about maybe Aaron Rodgers getting booed by Jet fans. That does not make any sense to me. The emotions that you would feel toward Aaron Rodgers, I don't understand how anybody could come up with boos. Frustration of the disappointing two seasons, sure, but it's not his fault. Robert Saleh returns. You want to boo him? I'm all for it. Go ahead. Do what you got to do. Booing Aaron Rodgers to me would be ridiculous from the Jet fans.
Let me get this straight here, Sal. So, because I agree, it would be ridiculous, though you know there's going to come a pretty strong sense of venom from the Jet fans that are in their own building, because that's another story that we got to get to later. How many Steeler fans are invading the...
Yeah.
Anyway, to me, understand that Aaron Rodgers willingly, he could have gone to the Raiders or somewhere else. He willingly, like so few others before him, wanted. Who the hell wants to go to the Jets? Like, who actually says, I want to go there? He did. And he got hurt. And oh yeah, by the way, he left a decent amount of money on the table to give the Jets some wiggle room to build up the roster and do some other things. I get it, guys. It didn't work out. Four plays in, Kittle snaps. Me guy going on McAfee and maybe subverting some messaging from his head coach and being very egotistical, a little self-absorbed. Fine. You know, what quarterback, what pro athlete's not? You tell me Tom Brady didn't flex behind the closed doors in New England? And I don't mean this as a diss. You tell me Boomer didn't do that with Cincinnati? That's what great quarterbacks or really good quarterbacks do. They run the show. They run the building. So for you to boo a guy who tried to resurrect the Jets, to me, you're just colossally missing the mark. And I think it's weak.
Yeah, if anything, I would lean toward cheering. But even that, to me, you don't need to cheer.
No,
either.
I'm not cheering either. Yeah, I'm because just fairly benign.
Yeah, but I do respect the fact that he came in here, embraced the challenge,
sir.
Talked a good game, all that stuff. Unfortunately, he got hurt. BT and Sal and the fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Gordon's calling from San Diego. What's up, Gordon?
How you doing? Yeah. I'm booing. $49 million in dead cap over 2 years. I've been a fan for 15 years. Bleed green. I don't know, man. I mean, he's going to be preparing all week to kick our ass. So, I mean.
Well, you know, I got you,
Gordon.
Yeah, you've been hanging on hold for a while, so I want to at least talk to you for a second here. So, I get it, and that's your prerogative. I wouldn't do that. But, you know, to me, you know, shouldn't booing come from a lack of effort or engagement or sloppiness or hustle, like a Gleyber Torres at times or other or Cano at times with the Yankees? Like, the guy tried his best. I know that sounds overly simplistic and almost like a loser. Oh, we tried. But the guy really did try. I don't understand the boos. I just don't.
I mean, he's going to be wearing black and gold. I mean, we booed Tom Brady, who's a bigger effort. I mean,
okay,
you can't just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get that he's the opponent, but that's
the
not
Jets'
the
enemy.
Yeah, that's not the idea. And Tom Brady destroyed the Jets for years, so there's understanding when you're going to boo him or the Patriots, the sight of that Patriots helmet or uniform. That's totally understandable. The idea of booing Aaron Rodgers specifically when he takes the field because of anything that happened here, that's where, and thank you for the call, Gordon.
Correct.
That's where we have an issue. I'm not saying you got to root for Aaron Rodgers to have success. I'm not saying you got to cheer Aaron Rodgers. The idea that you'd go out of your way to boo. Would you boo Justin Fields or Russell Wilson if they were coming in to quarterback the Pittsburgh Steelers?
No. No, right, you boo the, like, you generally, Jet fans don't boo, and Giant fans don't boo the opposition, unless it's like a Giants, Eagles, Giants, Dallas
thing. Yeah, whatever.
But you boo when the Jets look like ass. Yeah. That's when you wake up and you shower them with negative, you know, energy,
Brady,
because we're disgusted.
Yeah, but like if you're going to boo Brady because
or Belichick,
that's what I'm saying. Like that, you understand. You mentioned it with the Eagles and Cowboys.
Yes, like, you got to wear something for 20 years. Like, you know, even like Big Poppy or Pedro. Like that's, I think Big Poppy was more, both probably more out of respect. But And there's different degrees of booing. There's booing because you can't stand somebody. There's booing somebody because you can't beat them and you feel like it's your only recourse and you're jealous. Honestly, the guy tried to do the right thing and it didn't work. And that's, you know, yeah. Even if I was 20, like I'm trying to go back to my craziest point when I first started going to Jet games, I would not feel that way. I really wouldn't, Sal.
Like the idea that Aaron Rodgers is the one to blame because of the Jets. And I think a lot of people do feel that.
I know.
But the idea that he's the one to blame that the Jets failed to deliver. Come on.
Yeah, it's not Woody's fault at all, right? Yeah. Let's absolve Woody, owner.
Yeah, not Robert Saleh or the defense, the overrated defense. Like, you want to boo anybody, boo your own guys that didn't get the job done. Not Aaron Rodgers. We also talked about the color of tennis balls. Paul's in Raritan, New Jersey. What's up, Paul?
What's up, Sal?
How are you, Paul?
So, a couple things. I know you guys are talking about the actual, what you think the color is. But in the tennis world, colors distinguish the ball. So yellow ball is like pro level, high school level, high level juniors. But there is a green ball, which they call green dot, which is used for like 9, 10, 11-year-olds. Then there's orange ball and red ball. So actually, I know you're just talking about the color shade.
Yep.
But when you're talking in the tennis world, there is a green ball, green dot.
So Paul, let me ask you this. So when I was growing up, and we were growing up, they didn't have Dick. So whether it was, I don't know, Sports Authority, whatever it may have been, you're an idiot. You walk in. Oh, God, it was so infantile here sometimes, all of us. You walk into, I don't know, whatever sporting goods store, Herman's in Kings Plaza, and I need tennis balls to have home run derby with my buddies. Am I getting the green ones with the red dot? What was I getting?
You're getting the yellow ball, most likely. But, like, in the tennis world, like, if you play a tournament, they decipher, okay, this is green ball tournament. You know that, okay, I need to go in the yellow ball tournament.
Wow.
Again, orange ball is for, like, small kids, and, like, red ball is, like, training ball.
Is it a safety thing? Why delineate? Is it a safety thing?
No, so the green ball dot is 25% less pressurized, so it's slower. And then the orange is even slower, and the red's even slower.
Yeah,
so
wow.
It's all about the pressurization of the ball and how fast it goes on the court.
Now, that's real technical, and thank you for the call, Paul. I was just trying to simply ask, you know, a regular tennis ball. For those of us who have played with tennis balls our entire life,
I
never played tennis, really. But I used to.
You never played tennis?
Very rarely.
Tennis is fun.
No, I used to, because I used to want to just hit it like a baseball, even with the racket.
Yeah.
You played tennis?
Not often. But we, for a while, before kids, we went to a lot of Caribbean islands. We would always go and play tennis.
Really?
Granted, there'd be a pina colada within 5 feet of the net. Just leisurely volleys, 100%.
What was the name of that movie, Hoff, with Scarlett Johansson? She was a tennis player, if I'm not mistaken, or she was dating a Scarlett.
I've never seen it, but I know what you're talking about, Matchmaker. Or something.
Oh yeah, Match Point, maybe.
Yes.
Match.
Yeah.
You ever see that movie?
I have not. It sounds like by the tone, I might have to.
That was a good movie. Yeah, I remember Scarlett. I'm not a huge Scarlett Johansson fan, but I was in that movie, and I remember being a good movie. I think Match Point.
Well, remember Point?
Like
you're not thinking about Point Break. That's obviously
Point Break
was awesome. That was a good movie.
I don't think I've seen that.
What?
No, I don't think I've seen Point Break. Match Point. Yes.
Match Point. Okay.
Anyway, check that out.
But you know what you got to do too. You've got to.
Hoff is saying they use blue balls in that movie. I was not sure about that. Hoff. I think they were green, but okay.
I use blue balls for the paddle ball. You guys ever play paddle ball?
I love paddle ball.
That's where I use the blue balls.
What kind of balls? This guy's on fire today. What kind of balls? I don't even know if you guys played this way. What kind of balls did you guys use? Like, you ever play the game Asses Up?
Yeah.
What? Okay.
Tennis ball.
Where did you grow up? On Pluto or something?
There was another name for it, too, but that's the real name is Asses Up.
You call it different names. So Asses Up, and there's different versions. The way we would play, like, everybody, like, you'd be in the racquetball courts or the paddle ball courts, right? And you'd have one of these heavy blue balls, and they even had the dark, skinny, small black ones that were heavy, like, dark, like, almost like a lacrosse ball, which was dangerous when we used those, like idiots. Anyway, you throw the ball, you got to catch it. If you drop it, you've got to run to the wall, and whomever gets their hands on it first, like we go for headshots back then. We're not just trying to hit you in the butt, like we go for whatever we can get. And I'll tell you, you're running to that wall like Forrest Gump,
and you got to touch the wall before you get hit.
You got to touch the wall, and sometimes guys would cross the line too. Like you touch the wall, and you'd still get popped with that ball, and that ball hurt.
No, so forget the golf tournament here at the Fan. I think we should do an Asses Up invitation here with WFAN. Guys running for their life against that wall.
Five injuries.
I used a tennis ball. I think we were a little bit more PC about it back in the day because I did not. We did have the blue. We had the blue balls. Mm. We didn't have that heavy ball though, like you're talking about. But wasn't there part? Maybe this is we played different games. Wasn't there a point in time too, like the loser had to like face the wall and just stand there and get pegged?
And just take shot after shot? Yeah. I don't remember how that actually happened, but I do remember, yes, there was catching the ball and then running for your life, but then there was also another element of the game where, I forget, no matter what happened, you'd have to stand there like you were getting arrested or searched
and
by the police.
And everyone had a shot at you.
Yeah, I feel like it's coming back to me a little bit, but I did not play that game frequently, if at all. BT and Sal, all the fan, in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Mickey O is calling from Elmwood Park, New Jersey. What's up, Mickey O?
Mikey O, what's up?
Oh, Mikey O, I'm sorry.
Today?
That's my bad. What's up, Mikey O?
No, that's okay. Hey, you know, listen, I just wanted to switch it back to the Yankees a little bit, if I may.
Yeah, we talked Yankees before. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to bring something back. Volpe. I studied this with my friends. The guy, you know, we were expecting the next Jeter. You know what I'm saying? When he came up, he was so highly touted, and he's done well, but he's not made with the pressure, the psyche is getting to him. I believe he's crushing under pressure.
Well,
it's not his talent.
Mikey, let me just tell you this, and I remember saying this a while ago. Maybe he just was overdrafted. I mean, it's okay to say that Anthony Volpe should not have been a first-round pick by the Yankees or by anybody. It's okay to say that.
Well, then wouldn't you think, though, that deems bust label? He's a bust relative to the expectations. Like, and I hate to even pick on him. Even last night, booting the ball early on, like the double play.
Where he should have, that was early in the game. Yeah. Made a couple of good plays after that. But why his head to me, and this was a weird, I've seen Ryan McMahon do this at third base, and they even said it on the broadcast. He backhanded. It was one of those soft, you know, four or five hoppers that you got to charge, come in and throw off your right foot as a shortstop. And he backhanded the ball, not to the right, in front of him. Like, it was just a weird
I've seen too many players do that.
Of the ball. I've seen Ryan McMahon, but Ryan McMahon's a Gold Glove third baseman.
I remember getting yelled at one time for it. It sticks out of my mind. Tryouts for...
Oh, you tried to do this?
Yeah, I was playing second base. I'll never forget it. Like, certain memories stick with you, and I was playing second base, and the coach, it was high school, first year of high school. Coach hits, you know, we're tryouts for the team.
Outdoors or on the gym
floor?
Okay.
Outdoor here, playing second base. Mm-hmm. Hits a, you know, hard ground or whatever. I went and fielded it, no problem, backhand. He calls me out in front of everybody. Why'd you backhand that ball? And I was like, oh, like, he's right, but that sticks out then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
And now you watch the big leaguers, all they do is backhand balls that are right at them. Like, yes, you have to backhand a ball. You have to back. When you backhand a ball, it should be because you have to.
You have no other option.
Yeah.
It's
and
your
these,
last resort.
These guys are just backhanding it when
yeah,
it's hit,
no.
like right to
when
home.
It's in between their legs.
Yeah.
It's very, very, I don't know why that's starting to happen. Now, it's pretty impressive that you could do it.
Yeah.
And Volpe did that, and he, you know, threw it off his right foot, kind of falling towards the pitcher's mound. It was a pretty athletic play, but that's not how I would teach somebody to, you know, make a play at shortstop.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's being taught or these guys are just being lazy. John is in St. Louis. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, BP? So how you guys doing?
Good.
I grew up in Fresh Meadows. You guys are just talking asses up. I got an all-time asses up story. It was either Cunningham or Peck Park. I can't remember which one. You got the handball court.
All right.
My dad took me to play on the playground. I was a little kid, and I saw them playing asses up. So I run over, asked these older kids if I could play. Sure enough, I'm the first one to go out, and I immediately run off the court, go to my dad, and I'm like, hey, I'm getting a little tired, man. I think it's time to go. And he's like, what? So he walks over, he sees the kids laughing at me from the park. He goes, are you just playing asses up? I go, yeah. And he goes, did you lose? And I said, yeah. And he goes, did you get hit? I go, no, I ran away. He goes, oh, okay. Grabs me by the neck, drags me to the court, holds me bent over, and gives every kid like five throws to absolutely wreck me from my point blank.
Jesus. Good God almighty. I thought I ran a tough ship.
Holy God. He goes, you're never going to do that again. Throws me in the car or out of there.
Wow. What did your dad...
I like it. I bet it taught you some discipline.
What did he do for a living? What was his job? I'm curious.
He walked the beat on the Upper East Side.
There you go. No, he was on the job. Tough as nails back then. Got it. All right, that's a good story. Wow.
Yeah, it's all time.
Hey, get back there, you wuss.
Yeah.
Bend over. Everybody take aim. Hit him. How did he do that to your son? He sounded like he was like 6 years old, too, because he said, I was young, I was little.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to...
Teaching him the ropes early on.
I guess. I mean, what? Teaching him the ropes to get abused? I mean,
oh,
he ran away.
Take your medicine, you lose like a big boy.
Well, no, hold on. So, okay. I initially misheard. When he said he ran away... I'm thinking he ran quick to the wall that garnered him safety. No, he ran away to his dad.
Yeah.
That's a baller move by his dad. Make a U-turn, get in there. Yeah. We don't quit.
Is your dad available to manage the New York Yankees by any chance? John is calling from Comac. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
So you're talking about the game. So if you play that ball either off a hop or, you know, you on a fly and you mishandle it, you got to run to the run and touch the wall as someone picks up the ball and hits you. If they peg you before you hit the wall, then it asses up. Anyone who's playing gets there.
That's what it is. Thank you. Yes, 100%. And it was a real game of cat and mouse because sometimes, like, you feel, not everybody was a good ball player. I mean, not everybody, some were basketball players, some were football players. So it's not like you had 10 baseball players with rockets playing the game. So you had a level of confidence. So, like, sometimes you can kind of ham and egg it, like, you can actually, and then you just try to push the limit, like, oh, I got this. But you also know nobody's really in the vicinity, so you can drop the ball. If you're following me, almost miss the ball. Pretend you're going to catch it. And then I maybe just miss the ball on purpose and then just kind of like moonwalk or run backwards like, hey, he can't get me, suckers. And then you go because you know by the time somebody picks the ball up, they either don't have the arm, the accuracy, or the quickness to get the ball to hit you.
Maybe this is a different version of getting texts here. Chris Farina, our pal over at SNY, when you drop the ball, you would get a letter. Once you spelled asses, you went up to the wall and would get drilled by
everybody.
Never
played that way. The only time we did letters was with horse.
Okay.
Never did we do that.
Yeah, I'm just not familiar with this game, and now I'm getting
educated. Where'd you grow up,
dude? Yeah, Long Island.
You sure?
Yeah.
and how do you now? How do we get a winner? Someone said that if you got hit three times, you're out. Does that make sense?
You know,
because there was an end to the game. You couldn't just be playing for hours and just keep on.
You guys
people.
Played it. I don't know. You're asking me. I don't know.
Played when I was 8 years old.
I was a little bit older than that because I couldn't go to the park when I was eight and it was across the street. Anyway, I would say that the game ended. My mom worried about everything. Still does. I would say the game ended when either A, somebody got hurt.
Which always happens.
Which always happens. Or B, the street lights came on and you knew you had to get home for dinner. You know, otherwise mom would be on the stoop yelling, you know, where are you? And everybody would hear my mom because she's Italian and she was worried.
Yeah, I don't remember. Maybe I watched other kids play and I was like, ooh, that game's too dangerous for me.
Get the hell out of here.
I was running home, but I wasn't running home to daddy. I was running home to mommy because I knew mommy wasn't going to send me back.
Yeah. Mommy, she got a little washcloth for you. She gave you a little soup. You okay, Sally?
Exactly right.
Did those big kids hurt you, Sally? Let me get a Band-Aid, Sally. During the break there, when I was walking behind, I'm like, oh, my God, how did I forget this other game that we used to play real quick, right? So I guess it's from the family tree of asses up, because it basically it incorporates the same thing, trying to drill your buddy with a ball. We would play, and this would be in the middle of the street. Asses up was always in the park because you needed that wall, right? In the street, Hoff, you ever do this up there? We would take a big piece of chalk, right? And like, we'd always draw the bases on the street and the goal lines and all that other stuff. But we would make a big circle, and then we would cut it up like a pizza pie. Say if there was eight of us in the street, each one of us had to say, all right, I'm Italy today. I'm Ireland today. I'm Germany. I'm France. You could be Iran. Anybody name a country. And we would start the game by doing, you know, 21st finger. Whoever starts it would run like 10 feet, and they would get a running head start, and it was a bouncy, heavy ball, and they would slam the ball in the middle of the pie, and as they're running, they'd say, I declare war on, bang, and you'd say, Italy, and if your buddy was Italy, this is lunacy, if your buddy was Italy, what he had until the ball came down, and if I threw the ball, I would have to wait, and then I would retrieve it, then I would run after him and try to peg him as hard as I could. The difference with asses up is that in I Declare War, face shots were that was what you were going for.
Oh, God. It sounds so violent and grueling. I've never heard of this game before.
Did you? But now, was this like this was a dodgeball?
It's like dodgeball because with tennis ball, the heavy ball.
I feel like we use more of a dodgeball for that, because I think at that point in time, you know, because you're a little bit older than me, so I feel like we would have gone through a lot of people got hurt playing the game with the little heavy ball.
You
so.
Mean the first checkpoint of safety?
Yeah, you could do it, but you got to use a dodge.
Hey, I wore it for you guys. Listen, I was the pioneer. I crawled into harm's way for the next generation.
Great game, by the way.
That was another awesome. Great
game. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Back to the football stuff for a second, if we may. Jesse is calling from West.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Milford, what's up, Jesse?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing today?
Hey, Jess.
I'm driving back from Connecticut, and honestly, it's always the New York Jets that gets me to call up. And this Aaron Rodgers, he is a triple D, decrepit, disappointing, and a D-bag. And I'm so glad to be done with this guy. Now we finally got a quarterback who is trying to resurrect his career. We can finally establish a running game, and I'm going to watch this guy flail on his arm at a Taylor Swift concert like a loser, or going to the Met Gala. Like, this guy, he came to New York for New York. He didn't come to resurrect the Jets. But let's be clear about that. And, honestly, screw him. Let's go Jets.
Okay, well, yeah, we're with the same page. Let's go Jets here. But, you know, just make sure you call me back when Justin Fields throws a two-hopper on 3rd and 11 to Garrett Wilson, who's wide open.
I said we're going to be running the ball.
I understand. You're not going to run it 63 times every week. You need to throw the ball
if
once
we're
in a
ahead,
while.
We will. Hey, if we're ahead, we will.
So Jess, you don't like Aaron Rodgers, and that's your prerogative. But you clearly do not like him as a person. It's so obvious in your comments.
No, honestly, because I have his jersey.
You called him a D-bag.
He was supposed to save this team. And look at it.
He
tried. We were better with Zach Wilson as a team. We were better with Zach Wilson.
Jess, he tried, Jesse. He tried.
What? Where? He made us kill a second round pick to bring in his best friend Devontae, who didn't do crap.
You're gonna hate him even more after Sunday,
Jess.
Because just as much as you're, and thank you for the call, Jesse. Good stuff there. I respect the passion.
Yeah, so do I.
And I respect the frustration.
I do too.
Yeah, we understand that. Rodgers, see, whatever you think you're saying to Rodgers, screw you. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. Aaron Rodgers has a chip on his shoulder and an axe to grind because of the way that Aaron Glenn and the new regime let him go.
I think more Woody. I think that was more Woody-driven, so he's coming in to shove it down Woody Johnson's throat. No doubt about it.
Now, who do you think is going to win that battle? Now, Rodgers is older, so it's kind of out of his control, but if I had to pick one who's not going to want to lose that battle of, you know what, I'm going to stick it up your rear end.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to side with Aaron Rodgers.
You'd be an idiot not to. That doesn't mean that the Jets can't stifle him. He is still 40. He doesn't move the way that he used to. They only really have one true receiver that I'm really worried about, and Saul should be shadowing him, unlike Saleh, who didn't let one of the best quarterbacks in football do that. But one of the things, I hear it. It's Rodgers, like, and he's on a mission, man.
And they could get sweet revenge on him. Maybe they knock him down. Maybe they pick him off. I'm just saying there are two scenarios. One, Rodgers comes in to MetLife, lights the Jets up week one in his new home.
Yep.
Two, the Jets embarrass Rodgers. The defense does their job, knock him down, pick him off. I'm going with option
one. You're
going
to go door number one?
Yeah, I think.
The only thing I would add to that, though, Sal, there is the door three where, like, the Jets don't stifle him and he doesn't do awesome. He's fairly pedestrian. The Jets, you know, get lucky, or the Steelers get lucky late and the Steelers win because even though Rodgers doesn't do a lot, whatever. But the one thing that the caller said, and I would take issue with this, like he said, you know, the first thing he said was he didn't want to come to he didn't want the Jets, he wanted New York. Okay, you might be right about that to an extent, right? Now, first of all, you know, trying to go and immerse yourself in culture, art, music, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I applaud that. So to get on a guy for having eclectic interests is ridiculous. But, like, if Aaron Rodgers came here and there were reports and stories, he's out every night till 3 in the morning, you know, he's doing drugs, he's spotted with 5 models, you know, doing drugs, whatever. You know, like, that's, like, the call almost implied that Rodgers didn't care about football, when I would say, I don't think the Jets have ever had a quarterback that cares as much about football, certainly since, I would say, probably Chad and Vinny. It's been a long time. This man loves football.
I love the way you say that, and that's why I loved him. Yes, he has his personal interest in whatever he's going to do and say, and that's fine. He loves the game of football. It's proof because he doesn't need it.
No.
You think Aaron Rodgers needs to play another year and risk getting hurt again at his age? He loves the game. He did it with the Jets. He didn't have to come back that second year with the Jets. He did. He wanted to do it for the fans, for himself, obviously.
He felt like he owed him something.
Yes.
He wanted to finish
the
job.
I love that about Rodgers. I think he's misunderstood and got a bad rap. Now, I understand the caller being frustrated. He's angry and frustrated with the wrong thing. It's easy to pick on Aaron Rodgers. That's not where your frustration should lie. It should lie within the Jets themselves. Football talk in here right now. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. He is the host of the best football show podcast. podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Baldy, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, guys. It's good to hear your voice. That means it's football season is here. We've been jonesing for it for a long time. And so it's right around the corner starting tomorrow night. I'm pretty pumped up, guys. I'm refreshed. I'm charged. I'm ready to roll here.
So are we. So we're going to bang a lot of Jets and Giants stuff, maybe a couple of national things at you. First of all, the news today, AVT out. We don't know exactly how long. Doesn't seem very good. He's very injury prone. We all know, unless you're a moron that doesn't know football, Jets are going to try to run it a lot this year. I think this changes quite a bit for them. Maybe a shift around Tippmann, whatever, Myers, but this is not a good start to the Jets because their O-line was supposed to be the strength of the team.
I agree. And so, you know, when you look at it, you go, how can this happen already? How can this happen already? You know, I mean, he just got named the captain of the team, you know, and he had probably the best spring summer of anybody on the team. And this, like we said, we don't know what the injury is, but it looks like there might be a surgery. It's difficult. I mean, it's supposed to be the strength. They want to run the football. They want to move the line of scrimmage. He was going to be a big part of it, working against right next to the rookie Membo over there.
Yep.
Kind of building that chemistry. I guess the one thing I saw in preseason was I saw Josh Myers at center, Joe Tippmann at guard. And so, you know, you got to get your best five out there for Sunday against a really good, you know, Steeler front. That's probably what you're going to see. You'll probably see Tippmann at guard and Josh Myers at center right now.
How do you think, Baldy, this changes, if anything, your prospects for what the Jets could have been this season?
You can't, like, injuries are going to happen. You know, right guards, it doesn't matter, quarterbacks. You know, you hope that you've built the team the right way where you have enough depth, which I think they do, to overcome it. But, you know, they were counting on AVT to be not just, you know, a really solid player, but, you know, they want to run the ball in a variety of ways, which means he was going to be pulling. They were going to run power. They're going to run the football 20 different ways. You know, so almost like the Ravens did back when Lamar first took over. And so we're going to see a lot of formations, a lot of offense linemen pulling in. And AVT is really good at that. So is Simpson. And I thought they could really kind of go back and forth with guys kind of leading the way. And, you know, look, anytime you get to the backup, you're not going to be quite as good up front.
Yeah, for sure. And listen, we've all seen Justin Fields now a couple years in the NFL. Obviously, didn't get to finish with the Steelers what he started, but we saw him at Ohio State, dynamic athlete. In college, you could throw to a wider radius because it's scheme, and you can out-athlete some most of these teams if you're the Buckeyes. But you see the film, and you see a quarterback that I think has gotten a little bit better since his first year or two, but he doesn't seem to be getting credit for getting better. Throwing the ball a little bit. Like, is he a disaster or is he just average? Where is he at throwing it?
I think he's improved. You know, he was 4-2 as a starter last year in Pittsburgh, the first six games. They had a chance to beat Dallas and go 5-1. Defense couldn't stop Dallas at the end and lost that game. But, you know, he's not a... I think his accuracy has improved, but I don't believe he's just a naturally accurate thrower.
Yeah.
The way you have to be. Like, he's just not. And so I watched him in a scrimmage against the Giants. He wasn't very good that day. Not to say, but, you know, in this game, if they can keep it close with Pittsburgh, you know, he's going to have to make five or six throws. And at the end of the day, you're going to go, wow, he made those throws. And if they win, you're going to say, hey, Justin Fields made those throws. And if they lose, they're probably going to say, ah, he hasn't improved much. That will probably be the analysis that we see. But, you know, when you get the opportunity against really good corners and Darius Slay and, you know, Jalen Ramsey and some of the guys they got out there in Pittsburgh, you're not going to get wide open against those guys. They've got length. They've all got a lot of experience. They know how to play. And so they've played a lot of big games against great players. So, you know, at some point you're going to have to make great throws to beat good coverage.
Which running back do you prefer, Baldy? Breece Hall or Braylon Allen?
I think Breece is a more of a, you know, his first few years in the league, I mean, he was breaking runs longer than anybody in this league. He looked like Saquon last year at times before the injury. I still think he's got the breakaway speed. I think Braylon Allen is really good. But I think Breece is still a more dynamic player. I think you'll see him in the screen game. I think you'll see him in the passing game in a variety of positions. I think you want to get that guy the ball as much as you can right now. because I do think he's got the ability to make you miss and run away from you.
I agree to an extent here. I think that the Breece Hall before he shredded his knee in Denver a couple of years ago was that, you know, home run masher. I'm not saying he's no longer capable of it, but now, you know, since he's lost a little tick on the speed, you've got to be more reliant on vision. And listen, I'm not you. I don't look at it like this, but I look at enough film to, for me, in a most rudimentary way to say, I don't love his vision. I don't think he sees things quick enough and is decisive enough to pounce when he has to. And without the home run speed, I don't think Breece Hall's quite what he was, and I don't think he's ever going to be.
I'm not ready to say that yet. I mean, I'm not saying you're not that you're wrong. I'm not ready to say it yet. I want to see him against a quality offensive line where he's not trying to dodge people in the backfield like some of the breakdowns they had up front last year. I want to see him a complete year removed from the injury and the rehabilitation and all of that. You know, I want to see. So I'd like to give him a fresh start here.
Yeah.
In this particular system where, you know, I mean, look, we could have said a lot of the same things about Saquon, you know, when he was with the Giants, and then we saw what he did. Now, I'm not comparing Breece to Saquon, but, you know, if you get good runways, you know, I want to see him with that head of steam going and see if he can make those cuts right now.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Last one for me on the Jets, Baldy. What are your expectations? We talked about it yesterday. I don't think that this is a playoff team by any stretch. If everything goes perfectly and even factor in the AVT injury year, where do you see the Jets at the end of the year record-wise?
Well, I mean, if they get to 8 or 9 wins, I think that's a major success. I'd love to see him play some meaningful games, whether it's for a playoff position or knocking somebody out of the playoffs in December. Like, it's been a while since we've seen competitive football in December. Like, I'd love to see that where you go, wow, you know. And then, you know, I'd like to see a team that's just improving. I mean, last year, they were the most penalized team in football. If you just said, okay, we're not going to be in that category anymore. We're going to play better special teams. We're going to take the ball away at a much better rate than less than one time a game like last year.
Yeah.
If we could just see some improvement, and then if that can transfer to 8 or 9 wins, I mean, I think that would be a major victory for the Jets this year.
We're in the same neighborhood. All right, so the Giants now. That's a little different because the coach is back for year 4. He had a little success early. It's largely been a disaster. Not all of his fault. Roster hasn't been that great. Before we get to, like, Dart and specific stuff, just like an overall, you know, wide brush here or broad brush, Giants talent 1 through 53 compared to the last couple of years. Where are we at with this? Let's start with that, Baldy.
Well, I mean, you can't not go out to practice or watch them in preseason and not feel optimistic, a lot more optimistic than we had maybe the last 2 years. And so, you know, obviously we're going to talk about the quarterback, but I think the roster is a lot better. Like, I think they've got much better depth on the offensive line. I think they're better at the running back position right now. We know what Tyrone Tracy is. We kind of feel like Scadaboo is going to be kind of special. The defensive front should be very, very good. So, and I think, you know, the additions they made in the secondary with Javon Holland and, Paulson Adebo, I mean, I think they're a lot better top to bottom on this roster than at any point over the last 4 years.
So what are the expectations for this team then? I mean, can we be talking playoffs here?
Well, I'd do the first game, you know, in Washington. And I'm just telling people, like, they played Washington really tough in both games last year.
They did.
And that was with that roster.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Washington team that won 14 games and went to an NFC Championship game. Like, you know, you think it happened week 1. Nobody's played and nobody's tackled, you know, all this stuff. Like, I feel good about the Giants going down the, you know, 95 here on Sunday to play Washington. I feel like they can win that game. And if they do, like, forget about how tough the schedule is. That's a very, very good team. That's a better team than lost to Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game last year, if you ask me. And so I want to see them go toe-to-toe with Washington right now. And who's to say that, you know, they can't go make those plays that tips the point and, you know, wins that first game. And who knows, then we're talking next week about, yeah,
yeah, they could be a playoff team. I think it's a little early for that right now.
Yeah.
Because we got to see what the quarterback situation is going
to
look like.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, we're going to get to Dart here. But see, the thing that I think will enable the Giants to be much different this year, if they could get to this point, is if they could get some leads, which their quarterbacks just couldn't provide. Because even I don't need 21-3. Just give me 3 points. Give me 7 points. Let my defense pin the ears back and go get a little aggressive. And if they can get that, that defense is going to destroy people, Baldy.
I totally agree. Like, they could not score points. Not just last year. They couldn't score points the year before.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't score points, you can't ask the defense, because they just get worn down. You can't ask the defense after turnovers, after bad field position, you know, just to go out there and win games. Like, you can't. Like, nobody can. Like, you know, there's very few teams that can play that style. They got to score points this year. And if they do, I agree. This defense, I'd love to see offenses in the fourth quarter playing catch up, and on 3rd and 13, I'd love to see these guys tee off on some of these quarterbacks that they're going to face.
How long do you think before we see Jackson Dart as QB1, Baldy?
Well, it's going to, you know, it's always dictated by A, health. Does Russell Wilson stay healthy? B, is he productive? Are they scoring the points that we think they should score with a good offensive line? An offensive line that actually has some depth this year. This Marcus Bowe looks like a really good player. Like, they think they got real depth if anything goes wrong up front. And, you know, I think that if Russell is not getting the job done and they're not moving the team, they're not scoring points in the first month, I think it could be that early.
First month of the year? Would you recommend that? Well, the rookie quarterback, as tough as he's looked and the attitude and all that stuff and the confidence and the success that he had in the preseason, you think that's wise to throw a rookie quarterback in that early?
Well, I mean, look, I'm just saying, 4 full games. We're into October now. And if the team is scoring 13 points a game and they're not converting in the red zone or on third downs like you need to, and the quarterback is a problem, then I think you turn it over to him. I think a month is, this kid looks like, here's the dilemma that every Giant fan, you, me, everybody that's watched this team. What if this kid is really, really good and you're just sitting him, you know, and we're not letting him develop? Like, what if he's ready? We don't know.
Yeah.
And I do think there is, there's a deal of that you can glean from watching early on. But I remember Donovan McNabb, you know, in his first 6 weeks, that he came out, and I'm not comparing him to McNabb or any whatever, but I'm just throwing a guy out there. Huh. Doug Peterson started, and Donovan worked in there. And then by the time he took over, like, he was the guy, and they never looked back for a decade.
Yeah.
So that's the dilemma, because obviously he looked great in preseason. He played no huddle. He played up-tempo. He made great throws. And I know it's preseason, so I'm not getting carried away. But it, at no point did it ever look too big for him.
Listen, you're absolutely right, Baldy, but to me, and I think we might even see him in a few sub-packages this weekend. I mean, you're not QB3, you're QB2 for a reason. I think he's going to be out there at some point on Sunday for a snap or two, whatever, something that Russell can't do with his feet. But see, you said something that I find very interesting, and you're not wrong, but I want to give you the counter, what I think is more important. You said, well, what if he's right and you're not playing him? What if he's ready and you're not playing him? I get that. But what if he's not quite ready and you do play him? Like, yeah, you might lose a win or two if he is ready and he doesn't play, but you run the risk of ruining a young quarterback if he does play and he's not ready.
Well, that's the dilemma. It's just a dilemma. Now, I don't think, like, this kid just had 3 years in the SEC playing in the biggest, you know, cathedrals in all of sports, and he looked just fine. Win or lose, or, you know, whatever. I mean, you go into Baton Rouge, you go into Tuscaloosa like he did, like, I don't know, like, I think he's ready for it. But in person, that's just me. But I don't think this kid's going to get damaged if he plays too soon. I don't think that's going to happen to him. I don't think he's going to get skittish. But, look, you're better off waiting and holding out as long as you can. But I don't believe he's going to sit and be redshirted this whole year. I don't believe that for a second.
We're going to have meaningful football, Baldy, for both these teams beyond Halloween.
Come on.
Gosh, I sure hope so. I sure hope so, man.
Take it anymore.
I don't want to be on here at Thanksgiving, you know, talking about the draft with everybody.
Oh, right.
I really hope so.
We'll be talking about the Knicks if things don't change at Thanksgiving with you. Forget about football.
All right, look, I'm all about talking about the Knicks, man. That was a great one. I mean, I'm ready to jump in with you, but...
I'd like to keep it like between the white lines here of these NFL games.
Yeah, us too. And all we talk about is the draft and which coach is going to be fired and who they should hire. It's ridiculous. So hopefully we get some meaningful football. Baldy, always good to talk to you. Enjoy week one. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.